All right, so look, I think everybody remembers that there was a Thai soccer team, an underage Thai soccer team, who went on a literally an exploration of a cave. Rains came, it filled up and it trapped them. And then doctors who had diving skills went to their rescue. One of them was Dr. Richard Harris, and he joins us right now. Richard, wow, what the hell happened? How did you find out about this? And what was the very first thing where you went, ooh, I may have to go to this?
Oh, well, actually, it was a tiny little snippet of news in the local newspaper in Adelaide. And because I've got an interest in both cave diving and cave rescue, I thought this might be an opportunity for us to go over and help.
So how did you end up being that guy, getting the nod? Was it a matter of literally just making a phone call and saying, I'm your guy?
A bit of that, but also, you know, my connections through the cave diving community around the world. There were a couple of guys already there who live in Thailand who I knew from previous expeditions to Thailand. Mm-hmm. And then these two British divers went over there who I also knew, and they became very important in the whole thing, especially when they actually found the children alive.
Mm. Now, I've seen the different shows. And look, I recommend if anyone out there hasn't seen the movies about it, have a look, because I was blown away about how it was, like, just what had to go in to make these young kids survive. It was just remarkable how far it was and the way you had to do it.
Yeah, the kids were about 2.5 kilometres into the cave, and most of that was flooded. Well, it was all flooded, but most of it was fully, you know, flooded up to the ceiling. So we had to scuba dive. It took about 3 hours to get in to see the kids and then 3 hours to bring them out one by one. And as you know, we used a general anaesthetic technique to keep them calm on the way out.
So there were, I cannot imagine the mental pressure that would have been on you all. There were 12 boys. That's 12 families and then their extended families. The entire world was hanging on
It was like Beaconsfield, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Richard, were you always confident that you could get them out, anaesthetise them and get them out safely, or were you just, hoping?
Oh, it was really a last desperate measure because these children were going to die in the cave. You know, the rains were on their way back, and once the monsoons returned, there was zero chance of even being able to dive into the cave again. Yeah. So they were goners, really. So we had to try something. And to be honest, I thought there was literally 0% that this could work.
Wow.
You know, it's unprecedented to anaesthetize someone, make them completely unconscious, and then put them underwater for this 3-hour journey out through the cave. So, you know, I was very, very pessimistic about it. But as history relates, it all worked out.
Well, it's remarkable. I've always thought the name cave was kind of a misnaming, if you will. It's a fractured, long, long, at times tiny tunnel. Did you have to remove your dive, your life support systems to get them through small apertures at all?
No, it wasn't quite that small, but we certainly had to wriggle through, you know, with the rock sort of touching and rubbing on our front and our back at times.
Oh,
and the main problem was, of course, that the river was full of mud and you literally couldn't see your hand in front of your face. So it was all done by feel for that 2.5 kilometres.
Now, we know we always think about the 12 children. What about yourself and your team? Did you ever think at one stage, this is harder than we thought?
The actual cave diving wasn't too bad. I mean, you have to remember this is what we do for fun on the weekends. So
yeah.
You know, I always do emphasise that whilst it might be some people's worst nightmare, this is our recreation. And, you know, I've been doing it for over 30 years. So the cave diving itself wasn't that big a drama for us. It was, for me, it was always the fear of, you know, what was going to happen with these kids.
Mm.
How did it feel when you first saw those kids?
Oh, very emotional, actually. I mean, you know, I'd built up in my mind what that moment was going to be like, and I'd been preparing for it really for a couple of weeks by then.
Mm.
But when I actually surfaced in that chamber and saw these young boys, and they were just extraordinary, you know, they were so calm, so courageous, you know, beautiful, beautiful young boys. And they were just, I mean, honestly, they might have just been on a day out still for when you look at them. I just have so much respect for the resilience of those people.
I'm looking at the awards that you've received for this, and I think it reflects the world's interest in this story. And there's one in particular I would like you to ask, A, to tell me how to pronounce, and B, what it means.
Good luck.
Star of Courage, the Medal of the Order of Australia, Australian of the Year Nom, Star of Courage. And then there is the Knight Grand Cross, First Class, of the Most Admirable Order of the Dirgunabhorn.
You got it. Yeah, mate, you're the first person I've ever heard that song.
Like to be said for dumb luck.
He is a smart man.
What does it mean?
I think it's essentially a Thai knighthood.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a great honour to go over there and receive that from the Prime Minister. It was pretty special.
So there's two Sir Richard Harrises now.
That's right, yeah.
Wow. When you go back, are you treated like a king?
Oh, we get treated very well in Thailand. I think, you know, anyone who is involved is still a bit of a celebrity over there. And yeah, we have been back twice, and it's always very emotional. You know, I've been back and seen the kids a couple of times and their families, and there's always a lot of hugging, a lot of tears. It's pretty special.
Yeah, you lost a team member in this effort too. That must have been a very difficult day.
Yeah, well, I actually arrived as that had just happened. Mm. And so, you know, the whole place was pretty depressed. I actually saw the body of this guy being loaded into an aircraft as I was landing. And someone said, oh, that's a diver who died in the cave. Jeez. About 6 hours ago.
And am I correct? Yeah. Was he a Thai Navy SEAL diver?
He was a retired one, yeah, but still incredibly fit, strong guy. You know, he was running ultra marathons in the jungle there, and you know, very driven guy and very, very courageous to lend a hand, and sadly lost his life,
Richard,
in the cave.
Have you had to, I suppose, get therapy after an event like this? Counselling? Is that something that you've had to engage in?
No, I think everyone was fine because essentially the outcome was 100% positive. And in a way, it was a bit of an adventure. I mean, it was stressful, of course, at different times, but you know, with all those kids coming out alive, you know, I felt really great about it.
Yeah, but the one who would need counselling, I reckon, is the soccer coach who had to face 12 very angry soccer mums out the front of that cave.
Well, you know what? That's a really interesting point to make, because that's the difference between Australia and Thailand. Whilst I was already reading in the newspaper sort of criticism of that coach over in Australia, in Thailand he was revered, and those parents were grateful that he was in there to look after the kids.
Oh, wow.
And he was only 25, you know, and I think there's a lot to learn from that point of view.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I think we need to all change our mindset and not jump to, you know, the blame game and just think, well, you know, thank goodness that guy was in there to help look after him.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, stuff does happen. Dr. Richard, how would you say that this experience has changed your life?
Well, yes, my life is unrecognisable as it is now compared to beforehand. I mean, I honestly thought, I didn't realise the size of this story globally. And when we came home, I really did think that, you know, life would go on as usual, but there was such interest from the media and the global community about this amazing story. So, you know, and then we had this incredible award being Australians of the Year, myself and my friend Craig. And that, from that moment on, life's been really different. In fact, I've just retired from medicine a few months ago, and I'm doing some filmmaking and writing some books. So,
wow.
Well, the book is, am I right in saying, The Art of Risk?
Yeah.
Where you are picking the brains of the world's great risk takers.
Well, you know, I had this podcast called Real Risk, and I was interviewing people who, like myself, a lot of people might say, you know, these people are crazy to do what they do, but I didn't feel like I was crazy. I just thought I was a good risk manager. And so I thought, I wonder if other people who do stuff that would scare me, I wonder if they're a bit the same. So I started interviewing these incredible people, and I found that by and large, they were much the same. You know, they're just good at what they do and they take it in their stride. So so I thought these stories can inform other people. And I think actually taking risk is really important for normal development, especially in kids.
Yep.
And so I thought I'll put it in a book and, you know, at the very least, you'll get to read some cracking good stories.
Yeah. Now you're not a doc. Do we still have to say doctor?
Yeah, I think that's a respect.
No, well, if he's not a doc anymore, he's decided he's...
Well, I'm still registered. I'm still registered.
Yes.
So I could still apply Band-Aids and things.
Well, I was going to say, that's good, because Spider needs a couple of things whipped off, if you don't mind putting him under. He's very scared.
You'll need a grinder. Sure.
Were you happy with the movie, the Ron Howard movie, 13 Lives? Did you come up to the Gold Coast where it was filmed just to, I suppose, consult?
No, I wasn't involved in that one. I was involved, and Craig was involved in the Netflix production and also the Nat Geo production. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there now.
Yes.
But I was very happy with old Joel Edgerton playing my part.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. Yeah.
That was definitely a promotion.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I'd have Danny DeVito play me, so good luck to you.
Was it accurate?
Oh, there's a bit of Hollywood there.
Okay.
And, you know, it's I think the courageous heroes of the rescue were not maybe quite so courageous as we were portrayed, but it was all right.
We and the rest of the world will refute you denying that you were courageous.
Well, Dr. Richard Harris, you are certainly a person of interest, and we were thrilled to have you on the show, mate. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Oh, it's been great to chat. Thanks very much.